Wholesaling Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. It's time for Talking with TD.
Touchdown, Tennessee!
The latest on the Two-Tone Blue with ESPN's Teron Davenport.
Put up a shut-up, sir.
This is Nashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game.
Here we go. That's right. You are now talking with TD. Shout out to each of you that are tuned in. No Elijah Campbell this week, but it's all right because we got my hitter on the left side, Max Herz. And here we are. Wow, what can you say? Cole McDonald was released. Fan favorite. He's a guy that I know a lot of you were very excited about on draft day when he was selected with that seventh round pick. But it didn't take long, right? The Titans made a move. They released Cole McDonald and signed Trevor Siemian. This came 2 days after they worked out a few quarterbacks, one of which was DeShone Kizer. And here's the thing, right? I think when you look at these two guys, Siemian, he played in Gary Kubiak's scheme, right? And so you go back to 2016, he had 3,401 yards passing, I believe it was, 18 touchdowns, 10 interceptions. That was with Gary Kubiak as the OC and head coach. And here's one thing that you have to look at when you're talking about Siemian and why he could come in and kind of pick things up quickly. That scheme that Arthur Smith has, it has ties back to Gary Kubiak's scheme. So there is similarity there. That will definitely help him hit the ground running. I personally, though, looking at this, I think Kizer would have been the better option. And obviously, 22 interceptions as a rookie is something that is nothing to, you know, take lightly. But when you look at that situation in Cleveland, I'll say this. I know from talking to a player that was with the Browns that year and ended up with the Eagles, that was a bad situation for Kizer. Let me tell you, he didn't have a quarterback coach, a true legit quarterback coach. Hugh Jackson was doing that in addition to running the offense and being the head coach. And then there were multiple times where he would come off the field and there would be no one there to go over what just happened. That's not conducive to a successful situation for anyone. I don't care, Andrew Luck, Trevor Lawrence, and any of these, it's not conducive to success. So obviously, Kizer, you know, statistically, he's not the best, but I think he is a guy that you could bring aboard, and I think he would be a better option as far as long-term as well. But that's just me. We're talking about a year difference as far as the age is concerned. But, man, Kizer, in my opinion, was a better player, a better option. But, hey, look, Siemian is here. So what does that mean for the Titans roster? Well, I'll tell you. With Kizer, or excuse me, look, I'm still thinking about Kizer. With Siemian aboard, obviously that's going to come in and be a competitive option as far as the Titans are concerned going against Logan Woodside. I want to see how that works out because Woodside, I mean, everything that came out of John Robinson and Mike Vrabel's mouth, you know, when they were talking about him was all positive. So it seemed like he was going to be a guy that they really bought into being the backup quarterback. Now, here's the thing. That hasn't changed. That doesn't, just because they signed Siemian doesn't mean that, you know, Woodside won't win the job. They're going to compete. But I think if you look at the overall roster, when they had McDonald, Woodside, and obviously Tannehill, I think you almost had to keep three quarterbacks. But now if you have Siemian, you could release Woodside and put him on the practice squad, and you could have that guy on the practice squad that you trust enough to elevate from the practice squad onto your active roster and be the guy that could come in and carry the torch if something should happen to both Tannehill and Trevor Siemian. We know Tannehill has missed 24 games, right? Before the 10-game stretch that he started, he missed 24 games from 2016 to 2019, including the whole season in 17. So obviously, you know, there should be some, not concerns, but some acknowledgement of injury, right? Siemian also had a gruesome ankle injury. you know, last season with the Jets. He's only thrown 6 passes in 2 years. So I get it. Everyone is saying that, you know, he's a veteran guy that will help. But, I mean, 2 passes in 6 years. I mean, 6 passes in 2 years. Hey, I just want to see how this competition continues to work out. McDonald, the first day of padded practices, he had 2 interceptions. Kenneth Durden robbed him twice. One of them, he got pressure. There was pressure coming on the right-hand side. I believe it was Wyatt Ray against Isaiah Wilson, just kind of drove him back a little bit. McDonald was throwing to his right, and Durden was able to step in and pick it off. Then the other one happened in end zone 7-on-7. Durden just jumped a pass and picked it off. And so that was McDonald's second interception. But I will say this, McDonald had a couple tight window throws that I thought were pretty good. You know, he threaded the needle on one, you know, between 2 defenders, and Rashard Davis caught it for a touchdown. That, again, was in end zone 7-on-7. That was actually that same practice. So, hey, looks like John Robinson and the crew, they said, hey, the Simeon's out there. They worked him out, and he's the guy that they're going to bring aboard and be a competitor for Logan Woodside. We'll see how it works out. I'm really anxious to watch this unfold, and we have live practices to come, so we'll be able to watch that. So I just wanted to kind of give you my take on that situation as far as how things worked out with that quarterback, the backup situation. So we'll be right back, and we're going to talk a little bit more shop because there's another guy that I want to get into. And before we do, let me just remind you, Talking with TD, search that under Google Podcasts, iTunes, Spotify, wherever you listen to your top podcast. Make sure you search Talking with TD. Subscribe, rate, review. I appreciate you. We'll be right back.
Hey, man, this is Kevin Byard, and I'm talking with TD.
As we come back from the break, talking with TD, I played that to start because there's a guy that I think, you know, would love it when you call him Big Papa, and that's Jeffrey Simmons. I want to say this. He is someone that I think will be at the center of this defense, figuratively and literally. They went to live practices on Monday. And I what I like to do is just kind of go from position group to position group and watch them. And during individual, it was kind of not individual period, but just after that, they do one-on-ones basically. And I saw Jeffrey Simmons, and in this case, it was 3-on-3. They were doing from the center to the right tackle. And Simmons was in there, and the first rep, my goodness, man. I didn't get over there in time to get my phone ready and record it, but that's shame on me. But let me tell you, that first rep, he put his hands on Nate Davis, and he was able to move him out the way, and he turned around, and he was like, that's how you set the tone. You know, and I just said, this is going to be a good practice for Simmons. And when you look at him throughout that rest of the practice, they had a period, you know, during team period a couple times where they're trying to get something done, but they couldn't really work on it because he was blowing up the plays. He was just occupying the middle of the field, getting into the backfield and getting his hands on the running back basically 2 steps after the running back got the ball and had to blow the play dead. Jeffrey Simmons, I think, is going to be an outstanding player. And in talking to him, he had some things that he wanted to work on. And I think the main thing for him is just the fact that he's going to be healthy. And he was able to come into this season just not rehabbing, right, but just training. So there were some things that he wanted to work on, and we got to talk to him on the Zoom press conference. So here's what Simmons had to say when he was asked about some things that he wanted to work on specifically.
Especially coming off an injury, you know, it's always a setback, especially with change of direction. You know, I feel like my change of direction is way better than what it was last year, you know, especially just being able to bend that left knee that was hurt, actually. But just to be able to bend more and change the direction, all that just feel more fluent to me, you know, the bounce in my knee. You know, everything just feeling great right now. I mean, it's kind of one of the deals, like, you know, especially – if you didn't know you was hurt, you know, you're not thinking about it. And that's how it is right now. Like, I'm not even thinking about the knee, you know, especially when I'm on the field. I'm just trying to put in the work that, you know, no matter what, I know I'm trying to outwork the next man. So we always competing with each other out there on the field right now. So it's just like, you know, I'm trying to win every drill. So I say I can't win thinking about my knee. So, and that's how, you know, I'm training right now, you know, this offseason, or well, doing this camp period right now, you know, just, you know, not even thinking about this knee, just going out there, you know, doing whatever drill it is, just bending knee, you know, and the chain direction stuff. So,
and a part of that not thinking about that knee is not having the brace on. And that was something that it was a goal. He wanted to be able to train without the brace on. He wanted to be able to come into camp without the brace on. And dadgum it, I haven't seen him with the brace on. So that goal has been accomplished. And like I said, you watch him in drills, you know, they're going, they're hitting that sled. He's doing his thing. They have kind of like a boundary set up that they get underneath and they fire off. It helps them stay low. And you just see them working on a lot of things, technique-wise too. And even with Coach Terrell Williams, they're getting stuff done. You know, they're working on hand-to-hand stuff. They're working on being able to, you know, shed when an offensive lineman should get their hands on them. So I expect to see big things from Jeffrey Simmons. And, you know, to be honest with you, I'm not the only one that expects to see big things. Frankly, you know, you got Shane Bowen, who's taking care of that defense when Mike Vrabel isn't there. So his eye now has to be on more than just the outside linebackers. So I let Coach Bowen tell you what he's expecting. I mean, this team really feels like Simmons is going to be a major part of the defense. Here's Coach Shane Bowen on Jeffrey Simmons.
It's what we expect. Like, there's a high expectation level for him. And we're going to hold him to that standard. And we expect between him and Daquan in that room to be tone setters, not only for that room, but that our entire defense. And we're going to hold him to that standard. And it's got to be every day. And he's still learning. He's young. But I mean, when it's good, it's good. And we just got to keep harping on that, the leadership aspect of it and kind of the role they play. And like you said, setting the tone for us as a unit.
After seeing him today in pads for the first time since last season, I mean, is there a noticeably different aspect of him as far as speed, power, you know, now that he's fully healthy?
Yeah, I think just his comfort level, where he's at, where his body is. I mean, he's had a whole offseason to work. He's not going out there. I mean, last year, the first time he put pads on, he was coming off an injury, you know. So I think just being able to gain confidence in his body up until this point. For now, there's no second thought when it comes to any of that stuff, and he can truly focus on doing what he's supposed to do and playing with the technique and fundamentals and attacking and all those types of details that come with playing that position.
And the thing with Jeffrey Simmons that you have to understand is he's not going to be that guy, right, that's going to get you double-digit sacks. And that's fine. You don't need that. He is that guy that will, just like I said earlier, when they were trying to work on things in team period, as far as the running game's concerned, they couldn't do it because he was blowing it up. That's what he's going to do. You go back and look at the Ravens game, that fourth down stand that they had. I mean, he went against Marshall Yanda, who, in my opinion, was the best guard in the league last year. Much respect to Roger Saffold and obviously Quentin Nelson, excuse me, who, you know, we know Simmons had his way with on a couple reps too. It is really why they had that fourth down stop, you know, and it happened a couple times. So you're not going to see as much of an impact stat-wise, but if you take and watch the game, this is why I really suggest get that NFL Game Pass, folks. Get it, because you could go back and watch that tight end zone copy, and if you really appreciate the trenches, man, you watch the tight end zone copy, that's where you really see things happening. And that's where you'll really see Jeffrey Simmons getting that impact. I'm talking about reestablishing the line of scrimmage behind where the line originally was. And that's what you want out of defensive tackle. I said it before and I'll say it again. He reminds me of Fletcher Cox. And Fletcher Cox isn't a double-digit sack guy, but guess what? The Eagles paid him $100 million. And if you ask anybody on that defensive line, he makes other people better. One other thing that you have to take note of, you need that tiered pass rush. Being able to collapse that pocket from the inside while your guys on the outside, especially speed guys like Vic Beasley and Harold Landry, you know, when you have those guys coming around, they're going to flush the quarterback up. If he has nowhere to step up into the pocket, guess what happens? He has nowhere to go, and someone's going to get the sack. Or he's going to make a mistake and throw the ball, leading to a turnover. So I think, you know, overall, Jeffrey Simmons is, man, I know I'm spending a whole segment on him, but I really want you guys to understand how important he is to that defense. And you just watch him in practice. He's getting that work in. And the other thing, you talk about change of direction. A few times I saw him rush up the field, stop, reverse his direction, and go run down a screen play. And those are the things that really show you that his knee is okay. His knee is actually great, as he says. So nothing but positive things about Jeffrey Simmons. Definitely make sure you watch 98 this upcoming season. I'll continue to bring you videos of them, right? One-on-ones, individual period, all that stuff where you can see him really going to work. So that's really what I wanted to say about Jeffrey Simmons. We're going to go ahead to a break. I want to come back and go over some of these rookies because I think that's another area of focus. So we'll be right back.
This is AJ Brown, and you're talking with TD. From Memphis 10 around the world and then back
again. Make none rapping, we can see go home practice. All right, back from the break. Yeah, that's right, 8-Ball and MJD. Memphis artists want to bring that out. Had a request, you know what I'm saying? So you guys want any old school hip-hop, make sure you let me know. You know, I'll do my best to get it in there. So that was something that someone wanted, and you know, I'm a Northeast rap fan, you know what I mean? So getting Mace in there was a good thing. I want to talk a little bit about these rookies, right? And we touched on one of the rookies, Cole McDonald, who is no longer there. Hey, it's tough when you have, what, 5 draft picks and one of those guys is gone. But, I mean, it's just that's the way it works. And there are still some positives with that draft class. And I think those 3 positives are the ones that we're going to go over today. And we'll just kick it off with Christian Fulton. And one of the things with him, I think, you know, he has to continue to work on, and he admitted it, you know, just getting settled in, right? And that nickel spot, he's working there, and that's something that he did when he first got to LSU. I mean, he was on Talking with TD, you guys know. We talked to him about that. And that's something that Corey Raymond, who we also had on here, discussed as well. So being able to play that position in college and then continue to do that here in the league is definitely a good opportunity for him to get some early game day reps. And I think he's going to be a guy that's in that mix from the start. I'm talking about from week one. And don't be surprised if you see him, you know, with that first group of DBs, you know, in that sub package. Obviously, Jonathan Joseph is there as well. So, I mean, they have options. But Fulton, one thing that I'm really keeping an eye on is when he's going against Adam Humphries. And I'll tell you this much. You know, last year, Humphries and Logan Ryan, really Humphries in every DB, but especially Logan Ryan, who was primarily in that nickel spot over top of the slot receiver, they went at it. And Logan Ryan won his. Adam Humphries, he won his too. So I'm watching that. It's just a different 26 in Christian Fulton. And they're going back and forth. I will say that Humphries is consistently, he's getting open. There are a couple times where after the play, you know, Anthony Midget pulled Fulton to talk to him, and they're going over things. And it's one of the things that he really mentioned that stood out to me was he was talking about knowing where his help is. And I think that's something I asked him specifically, if that's something that is crucial and critical to playing nickel. And he said that was. So granted, Adam Humphries starting slot receiver, right? And he's a guy that is among the better slot receivers in the league. So he's getting good reps against one of the better at the position that he's going to be guarding. I think when you look at him on the outside, you know, he's working there and doing some things. One-on-ones is a good opportunity for him. And there were a couple times where I saw him. He showed his pattern match ability. And there was one time where he could have undercut a route that Rashard Davis was running. It was an outbreaking route, but he just was able to get his hand in there and knock it down. Fulton, I think, is going to be a really solid player. And I'm not just saying that because I really liked him in the draft. I'm saying that and watching him progress in the couple practices that we've seen. And I think one of the major things in order to be good is you have to understand that stakes are higher, that it's different. And that's actually something that he mentioned when he was asked about, you know, the difference between LSU, which some people refer to as the 33rd NFL team, and the actual league. So here's Christian Fulton on the difference.
The biggest jump, you know, everything is at a high intensity. I mean, we did everything with a high intensity at LSU, but, you know, it's even higher. You know, they're expecting you, you know, to jump around, move around in every drill. I say definitely a little faster, you know, making that jump from the college, you know, the NFL, you know.
So that's Christian Fulton. And as he said, it's a lot more intense. And that's something that even I asked Nick Zupnar, we're going to get it right. I asked him about that, and he said that it's more intense also. And he said everything is just go, go, go. And this is a guy that was already in the league, right? You know, with the Chargers. He's coming from another organization, and he said it is more intense. So that's something to kind of key in on, because that's what you want right now. And we're going to get to that later, you know, in regards to the live practices. But I want to move on to Isaiah Wilson. And Isaiah Wilson is someone that, I mean, you guys know he's a massive individual. And actually, on Tuesday, we were in the media tent, and he walked by to go to the bubble for meetings. And man, that dude, I saw him without pads on, you know, not standing on the podium, because the first time I saw him live was on the podium in Indy at the Combine. But this time I got to actually, like, see him walk without pads on and see his body. He is a guy who you would think, because of the numbers, right, 6'7", 355 or whatever he was labeled as, you would think, you know, that there would be, like, he would have not an athletic-looking build. He has an athletic build, whereas shoulders to waist is more tapered. I was really taken aback by that, because, again, when you think of that, where his measurables are, you wouldn't imagine that. But, hey, look, Isaiah Wilson said that conditioning is the main thing. He got to work with Taylor Lewan during the offseason and some of the other offensive linemen. And you could kind of tell, right, once the pads came on, you could really see him, you know, working on some things. I just like the way guys like David Quesenberry, you know, and Dennis Kelly, but Quesenberry especially, after, you know, some reps, he'll tell him, hey, look, you know, this is kind of what they're looking for. And that's huge for a rookie player. And the fact that Dennis Kelly is doing that, even though Wilson was selected to take his job, I think that really speaks volumes about Dennis Kelly. So class act there, a consummate pro on Dennis Kelly's behalf. But then when you look at some of the snaps, as I mentioned earlier, that Cole McDonald interception, Wyatt Ray was able to get a good amount of pressure, you know, from that right side, which is where Wilson was. He has to just kind of get further acclimated to what's going on. I mean, it's faster. Guys are stronger. You get more specialized moves. It's a different ball game in the league. And I think Wilson is going to be fine. But one of the things that I did notice on the second pad at practice is there was a time where Wilson he had to block down on the three technique and then work his way. So three technique, we're talking about one of the interior guys, and work his way up to the second level to hit the linebacker. And that three technique was able to get pressure, and that kind of stopped the play. So they went back after the play, and Mike Vrabel talked to him and showed him, you know, what it is that they had to be fixed. But then after that, the next two reps, he had really good reps. I like that in a player, right? Because, you know, some guys, they have a bad play and they carry it to the next play, and that's a bad play, and then they carry it to the next. And then now it's like that snowball that you roll down the hill, right? It starts really small, it gets really big. But this was the total opposite situation. Next play, he shot his hands really well, and the coaches were really happy with that. So Isaiah Wilson, one thing that it's shown me is that he's coachable. And that's something, because we had his position coach on here, and he spoke about that, you know, just the fact that, you know, he was a guy that had the self-evaluation ability, you know, the ability to self-evaluate enough to know his first year in Georgia, he wasn't ready, you know, and that's okay if his first year here with the Titans, he's not ready. That's what Dennis Kelly is here for. But in the meantime, he's going to continue to work to get better so that when he is ready, that opportunity will be there and he could take advantage of it. So, you know, Isaiah Wilson, he also talked about the main difference between the league and being in college, this is another SEC guy, right? And Georgia is not short on talent. So here's Isaiah Wilson talking about the difference of the league as opposed to the SEC.
Everything, honestly. I mean, it's a step up from college football. So just learning things about where your hands are supposed to be, certain sets, certain techniques, you know. And I think I was prepared pretty well by college, but this is also a totally different level. It's a total step up. And just to learn everything is definitely an adjustment.
So there you have it. And notice what he said about learning his hands on certain techniques. And that's something that Keith Carter is going over with them. And the assistant, it slips my mind, the assistant offensive line coach, it slips my mind. But he's Coach Sullivan, he's a really good coach as well. So they're going over these things and teaching them these techniques. And that's the thing, right? When you're trying to exhibit these techniques and learn them and then execute them, you're going to naturally play a little bit slower. So I wouldn't expect extreme results from Isaiah Wilson immediately, but it's eventually going to come. Now, next is Darrington Evans. And he's someone, Sunday, he had two fumbles. And Twitter, you know, kind of went a little crazy about it. And here's the thing. Obviously, you always want to secure the football. That, without a doubt, is rule number one when you're a running back. And on one of the fumbles, yeah, you know what? He absolutely needed to protect the ball better. White Ray was able to turn and punch the ball out as Evans was finishing a run. That was fumble number one. And then fumble number two came later in a different team period where somehow he got airborne and he was coming down towards the ground. Now, they didn't have pads on and the ball came out. But after that, the next two practices that I saw, that Monday, that Tuesday, no issues with fumbling the ball. You saw him actually make sure he protected it when he was in traffic. So I don't think that that's something to be overly concerned about. I mean, the guy, he didn't fumble once in his career at App State. So let's pump the brakes on saying that he has a fumbling problem. It happened in practice, but it is practice, you know. So the thing is, he actually, in watching him, like seeing him in person, I could echo some of the things that Ryan Tannehill and Jonnu Smith said about him being a sudden athlete, about him being, you know, very shifty and quick. You see him running routes. I posted a collage of him during individual period, you know, just working on some of the short routes, you know, with Tony Dews and the rest of the running backs. He's going to be a legitimate option in the passing game. And actually, that collage I posted, Louis Riddick, who actually, you know, Lou Riddick, Sweet Lou, you know what I mean, Monday Night Football, he took and retweeted, and he said that that's going to be a critical part of the Titans taking their offense to the next level. A lot of good things to say when you watch him on tape, and they just need to be able to bring that explosiveness that he showed at App State onto this offense. And that's something that Arthur Smith said he wanted to do. So there's positives there. I think you can use him out of the backfield. You can motion him and light him up out wide. There are a lot of things that you could do with Darrington Evans. So definitely make sure you keep an eye on him. And Arthur Smith, he kind of pumped the brakes, you know, on the hype with him. He was like, you know, it's still early. We're going to see what else that he could do, you know, and see what he brings to the table. But make no mistake about it, they're doing everything they can to give him an opportunity to shine. And you see him, you know, stepping up in practice. So those are a few of the rookies I wanted to go over, those three guys in particular. Chris Jackson, I know, is a part of this draft class, and he's someone that, you know, has just kind of been floating under the radar. I still think he has a chance to make the roster. We'll see what happens, right? John Robinson showed that he won't hesitate to cut a draft pick, you know what I mean, if there's a better situation out there or even on the team. So I don't think Jackson getting drafted necessarily means he's on the roster. But there is a guy who didn't get drafted that I think we need to take note of, and that's Christian Wilkerson. And I've talked about him multiple times in the past. We had him on the show here. And one of the things with Wilkerson, you know, during 7-on-7, he had a corner end zone catch It actually ended. That was the end of 7-on-7, right? On Monday it was. Cole McDonald lofted one up to the corner of the end zone. He went up over Jonathan Joseph and grabbed it. One thing that's coming out about Christian Wilkerson that I've been telling some of the other media folks, you know, when I say this, hey, who, what rookie, what young receiver you like? I said, oh, 19, watch him. And then it's like every time I say that, he'll go out and he'll make a catch. I haven't seen him drop a ball yet. You know, we'll knock on wood, right? I haven't seen him drop a ball yet in camp. But we're talking about, you know, through five practices or so. So that's a positive. You see him getting open. He's running really good routes, getting in and out of his breaks well. There was a slant that he ran, and he sold the outcut and then cut it back inside and was able to get open. But the thing is with him, whenever the ball gets near his hands, it is being caught. And that's a major thing, and that's the trust that these quarterbacks, you know, can have in him. And I really think that he could fill that Tajae Sharp type of role as far as being a guy that could come in. He could give you an occasional start, but he'll give you a legitimate option on the outside. But he could also play the slot too. And speaking of slot guys, you know, there are a few other guys that they're working. Mason Kinsey had a good day on Tuesday. You know, he was really showing out in one-on-ones. So he's someone to mention. Kyle Williams, along with Mason Kinsey, those guys have been working on punt returns, you know, with Khalif Raymond as well as Adam Humphries. That's something. And speaking of punt returns, you had Adoree Jackson, right? That was mentioned by Coach Aukerman. He hasn't been back there. So, you know, you guys could come down off of that bridge. You don't have to jump off of it. It's all good. It looks like they're going to allow him to focus on cornerback, and he's been playing corner very well. But those are some of the things from the rookies that I wanted to go over. We're going to go ahead and go to a break. We're going to come back with my OG, man. And before we do go to a break, let's make sure we let you know. Talking with TD. Search it, subscribe, rate, review, iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, wherever you get your top podcast, you can find us Talking with TD. We'll be right back.
This is Derrick Henry. You're now talking with TD.
Don't sweat the technique.
Yeah. Back from the break, talking with TD. Don't sweat the technique. I can't help but sweat our next guest technique because just everything he does is right. You know what I mean? And this is a guy that I watch during practice. And if I'm in the same area, I know I'm in the right area. So we're going to bring in my OG, Jim Wyatt. What's going on, man?
I'm doing great, TD. I appreciate you having me on. It's an honor to be on here with you.
Yeah, for sure. And I have to slap myself because I haven't had you on enough. I think in these 2 years, I only had you on once. So shame on me for that. But, hey, you're here now, right? And first things first, Cole McDonald. I mean, listen, this is a guy that everyone was so high on when he first came aboard, you know, on draft day. Titans fans were ecstatic, right? They were bringing in the Hawaii quarterback and the gunslinger, the athletic guy, but he's gone now. Trevor Siemian's in. What's your take on that move that they've made? What did you see from McDonald in that short period of time?
Well, I'll say this. I mean, I've seen some guys that were kind of taking flyer on. I mean, he wasn't in the draft or free agent. I mean, he was taken in the seventh round, and a lot of times those guys just want to see what they have. And my first thought of, well, this is quick. And a lot of that I'm basing on the fact that we saw him 4 days of practice. But then, you know, think more about it. I mean, no, this team didn't have OTAs and didn't have a mini camp, but they have had him in the building since, you know, the end of July, and have been able to work with him for longer than 4 days. It's been more like a couple of weeks. And I just feel like the more time passed and the more maybe the team thought about a season and having a situation where you need to protect yourself, not only because of injury, but because of the virus and knowing the guys could get hurt, you need to have a guy in there that has some experience. So I think, you know, Cole McDonald ends up being kind of the odd man out now with Trevor Siemian coming in. Now you've got a guy who has done it, played in some NFL games. You continue to let Logan Woodside compete, but you just don't have the time to give, you know, Cole McDonald the reps that you maybe would during a normal offseason, and we'll kind of see what happens to him from here.
And that's not something that changed. Like, it's not like, okay, the pandemic came after the draft and all of a sudden that wasn't going to be the case as far as not having OTAs, et cetera. So that being said, To make that move now, do you think that's any kind of indictment on Logan Wood's side, or do you feel that that's just something that Simeon was there and they grabbed it?
Well, I mean, that's a fair question because, I think, you know, Woodside has done everything that he could possibly do to earn the trust of the coaches about, what he's been able to do. I mean, he's worked hard, during the season when he was on IR. You know, he played well in the preseason last year. You know, he helped organize workouts with his teammates this offseason. But one thing he has not done and is play in an NFL game, and that's something that you just can't, you can't disregard. So I think part of it has to do with McDonald and just upgrading your whole room, but I think a part of it obviously is giving yourself a little security with a veteran who has played in games before. And that doesn't mean that they're ready to cast Logan Woodside aside. But, obviously things are different now because, you're not going to be faced with a situation where if something has happened to Tannehill that you've got a guy who's never done it before. I mean, and that's the benefit of having Simeon now on the roster, and I'll be curious to see how reps are divided from here on out.
That's what I want to see, how those reps are divided, because that move tells me, okay, this is how that roster is going to settle in. They're not going to keep three quarterbacks. I think they're going to keep Tannehill, obviously, and Simeon, and they're going to look to pass Woodside to the practice squad, but he will be that guy that, hey, you know what, God forbid something happens to either of those guys, right, Tannehill or Simeon, you have a guy on reserve that you could just grab that is already up to speed, and you don't have to have that, oh, we have to condense the playbook. I think that's how it's going to go as far as the roster is concerned. What do you think?
Yeah, I think that's a good call. And I think, it's unfortunate that Logan Woodside didn't get an opportunity to play in some preseason games this year, because it just, the more experience you can get, the better off you are. And he can only do so much in practice settings, and they try to simulate that as much as they possibly can. But I think Mike Vrabel, I think John Robinson, I think Arthur Smith, those guys will probably sleep a little better at night knowing that they've now got somebody else who is not going to necessarily be surprised in an NFL game if you're tossed in there for the first time.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And there's a lot to trust because this is a team that is really in line to have another solid playoff run. So I hope that, for our sake, right? I like to keep working, after January. So I hope that they do have a playoff run. But moving on to just the rest of the offense, as you mentioned, it's been, four or five practices. If you had to pick one guy on offense that has impressed you the most, it could be a newcomer, it could be someone who's already been there, who would you say?
I think, and this is probably too easy of an answer, but Ryan Tannehill just looks like he's in such command and so comfortable with the offense and just knows what he's doing. But, since he is kind of the easy answer, I'm going to pick somebody else, and I'm going to say Jonnu Smith. Just because, and again, I'm passing up on guys like Tannehill and Derrick Henry and A.J. Brown a little bit because those guys are the obvious picks. But I think Jonnu, to me, he looks so fluid and looks so sure of himself. And I know that Jonnu has had to answer questions about Delanie Walker ever since he came in the league. I mean, when he's drafted, all the questions were about Delanie and what's it going to be like playing with a guy like that. And then Delanie gets hurt in his second season in week one, and he's asked, what's it going to be like to fill Delanie's shoes? And then in 2019, when Delanie Walker's season's cut short, as Jonnu Smith has to answer those questions again. And then even at the start of this season, when Delanie Walker was released, he found himself again answering questions about life without Delanie Walker. And I don't think Jonnu Smith – I know Jonnu Smith doesn't have anything against Delanie Walker, but I do think a part of him is has to be thinking, hey, you know, what about me? You know, I've been in this league for a while now and certainly have proven myself when I've gotten opportunities. You know, I want to make a name for myself. And some of the stuff he said over this offseason about wanting to exceed what Delaney's done and making a name for him. So I don't think he was trying to disrespect Delaney at all, but I think he's in a position now that he does have some of that pressure off of him. He can just be himself. And when I watch him out there, he just looks like a guy to me that is ready to have a big season.
And we're talking to Jim Wyatt, the OG of the Titans media group. You know, I have to tip my cap to that. But you mentioned
– Does that OG stand for old guy?
Nah. Media group? Original gangster. That's what like it stands for. But you know what? Even though you're an original gangster and OG – the eyes are still in intact because you mentioned Jonnu Smith. It tells me that you're watching closely because he's not out there making catch after catch after catch, but he's running really good routes, you know, so it's definitely good that you mentioned him. And then one of the things with Tannehill, just to kind of back up what you said about the support, you know, and the confidence that he has, I saw Mason Kinsey ran a route, and after the route, Tannehill went to him and just basically in a nutshell told him to be more decisive. And actually went through and showed him how to come out of the breaks. That's an advantage that Tannehill has as a former wide receiver. So that's just another plus that he brings to the table. I want to flip it to the other side and talk about the defense. And for me, Jeffrey Simmons has been the standout, you know, once these pads have gone on. But who would you say is someone that really stands out to you in that defense?
Well, I mean, I like it. It's funny because I do this practice observation each day, and then I think, you know, the second day I had a picture of where Adam Humphries put a move on Adoree Jackson, and Adoree was kind of had a look on his face like he was trying to catch up. And then I think the next day I tweeted out a video that showed maybe Adoree get, you know, burned on a double move and was trailing a guy, and somebody responded on Twitter that your Adoree looks like he's struggling in camp. And the reality is, I think Adoree Jackson has really stood out to me. You know, yes, I mean, when you're a defensive back and you're competing in some of these one-on-one drills where you're in so much space and you're not getting any help, you're not going to win a lot of those battles
right
out there with those receivers. But what I like from Adoree is just his physicality. I mean, there's been a lot of times where he's been matched up with A.J. Brown or drawn that assignment covering him, and he's jockeyed with him all the way down the field. He's gotten physical. He's knocked a couple of balls out of his hands that usually A.J. Brown with his strong hands catches. So, I mean, I have to say Adoree Jackson, just because, you know, a guy that maybe is not known for being physical has gotten my attention for being physical. And I kind of like the tenacity that I've seen him play with.
And that's something I'm sure Titans fans are excited to hear, and especially with him, because you remember when Coach Aukerman mentioned Adoree in the mix for punt returns, it was like, you know, we had to watch that, that pedestrian bridge because people were ready to jump. But we haven't seen him back there. So that's a positive thing, at least, you know, for him to be able to focus on there. As far as Kevin Byard is concerned, I asked him the other day just about setting the tone on defense, you know, in practice. How do you feel he's evolved as a leader? I mean, you're there in the building. You see him, you know, on the field. You know. So how would you feel he's evolved?
Well, it's funny. I still remember this time flies by so quickly. I still remember so well when he came in as a rookie, and he just had a different kind of way about him where he was so sure of himself and felt like he belonged and felt like, you know, in the third round he slipped by some people. And even then, as a rookie, he spoke up and was not shy at all. He deferred to the veterans like you're supposed to as a young guy, but you still can assert yourself. And I've just have seen him grow and speak up and correct some of the younger guys on the field. And I just like his presence, and certainly, you know, he's proven to be a playmaker too. I mean, over the last three seasons, there's no safety in the league that has more interceptions than Kevin Byard. And you know, he practices every day, and you can count on him in so many different ways. So, I mean, it's just been fun to kind of watch him grow and mature. And he is, no question, one of the leaders of not just the defense, but I think the entire team.
And last thing before we let you go, that everybody loves Raymond piece. I really like that. That was a great piece. It's talking about the family support that he got in working out for this upcoming season. Well, what have you seen from Raymond? I know he wasn't there on Tuesday, but what do you think of his chances like to legitimately be an option, you know, in this passing game?
Yeah, I appreciate you mentioning that, because he is a fun kid to root for, and such a great journey and being cut so many different times, and just he's just been a survivor in the league, and then he finally got an opportunity last year on a kind of extended basis and showed what he can do. I mean, is he in the top three of this team? No. I mean, that's because I think this team has three good receivers in A.J. Brown, Corey Davis, and Adam Humphries, but I think he does bring something different, and that's the speed element. I mean, you look back at last season, he made two of the biggest plays of the year, you know, that touchdown catch in Indianapolis and then the one in Baltimore in the playoff game. And I think another year under his belt, you know, another year working with Ryan Tannehill in this offense, I think they're going to find ways to get him the ball more. And I think just his presence and the fact that he has made some of those plays will help free things up for other guys too. So, I mean, his numbers, you look at them, pretty pedestrian last season. I think they look better this year. And I'll be curious to see how the whole return thing works out. But I think, you know, it's nice when you have a guy like that who's is speedy, but that's another thing, is this team has some other options at that position too. So I'm just curious to see if he can win that job again and make even a bigger role for himself.
Definitely something to keep an eye on. That Smurfs crew, Khalif Raymond, Cam Batson, Rashard Davis, and you could even add Mason Kinsey to that too. So, hey, man, I appreciate you coming on. It's always a pleasure, man. You're one of my favorites here in this group that we have, and I think we have a great group, you know, so I'm happy to be a part of it, and I definitely thank you for making me feel comfortable to be a part of this crew.
Well, I'm glad you're a part of this crew. I mean, you certainly bring a lot of knowledge to the beat. You know, you do it in a way that's unique, and I know football fans love it, and I enjoy being around you. You bring an extra energy to the sideline, so I appreciate you having me on here today as well.
There you have it. I appreciate you. Jim Wyatt, ladies and gentlemen, we'll be right back to wrap this up.
This is Corey Davis, and you're talking with TD.
Yeah, I had to play that because you know what? You hear the excitement in my voice. Well, that's the same excitement that these guys got on Monday, right, when they first put the pads on, and they're continuing to do that. One of the things that really stands out to me, just, you know, from having been in a situation, man, and even just as a receiver, you know, someone who's not doing a lot of hitting and all that, when those pads go on, the excitement level just, it elevates. And that's something that, you know, I asked Mike Vrabel about, I asked Derrick Henry about, David Long, and Derrick Henry was like, hey, look, man, we go live, you know, those linebackers are going, they're trying to hit me, so I have to be, you know, I have to turn it up. And the linebackers, you know, they're trying to get their run fits. David Long says it's a whole different ball game when the pads go on, and he's 100% right. But the thing that I like is what Mike Vrabel said, we want to make sure that we're respectful, right? We're not going out there trying to hurt anybody. You know, we know the rules, no cutting, no dirty hits, safeties, right? When they have an opportunity to body rock somebody across the middle, you know, you don't have to do that. You could just give them they're going on thud, which is typically what happens, right? First contact, that's when you just kind of, all right, boom. And that's something that you're seeing. And I will tip my cap to the Titans. These couple padded practices that I've seen, no outstanding, terrifying hits. You know what I mean? And that's what you want. There's no one trying to be a hero. What did Tina Turner say? We don't need another hero. And that's really the mindset that these guys are taking, man. And it's, you know, obviously with no preseason games, and that's the thing that really kind of made me like, oh, they're putting the pads on. I wonder how much it's going to be popping, because these are guys trying to get jobs. And you know what? As they're trying to get jobs, you always have that one guy where he's like, You know, there's no off. He has one speed, full speed, right? And that ends up being a detriment to a guy who's valuable to the roster. I've seen it multiple times, man, but it's not happening here, and that's a good thing. But they're getting that work in. Now that it's live, right, I've seen for receivers, right, A.J. Brown and Malcolm Butler, they're getting it in. I really love it, too, because they're really going at it. You know, Butler is such a feisty – you heard what Kevin Byard actually Mike Vrabel called him a swamp rat, and Kevin Byard echoed it and called him feisty. That's exactly what he is, and he's chirpy and, you know, very physical. That's something that A.J. Brown needs, too. So they're making each other better. That competition between A.J. Brown and Adoree Jackson is there, too. So I like that those DBs are taking on the guy, you know, on the receiving core. And speaking of live practices, right, Corey Davis, second live practice, he was ready to go. Got out there, and he did some things. So that's a plus as well. There's a lot to be positive about, you know, with this Titans team. And it's just, you know, it's exciting when you see them put the pads on. And I referenced it earlier, man, Jeffrey Simmons. Whew, there's a lot of clashing going on up front. So he's definitely taking his game and his excitement level to another level as well. You know, Daquan Jones, you know, these guys are getting it in. And the thing that's also really good about this, and knock on wood, right, hit a John Gruden, knock on wood if you hear me, no injuries at this point. You know, you saw in the first day, Murchison, you know, I don't know if he got rolled up on or what happened, but he was down a little bit afterwards after the play, but he got up and he was able to get away. So there's a lot of good signs, you know, for this practice and for the live period. And here's the thing. They did a really good job of, you know, setting up a live period for some of the special teams as well. And that's something that Mike Vrabel and Coach Craig Aukerman said that they were going to do. So before the one practice, actually before the first live practice, they lined everybody up, and he called out one guy on offensive, quote unquote. So we'll say one guy on return team and one guy on kickoff or punt team. They did some gunners. They did some of the other blockers. And they just had them go at it in front of the team, and it was a live period. And that's something that, you know, like I said before, you need that in order to be able to evaluate guys. Cleve Raymond had a really good rep, by the way, on one of them. He was able to kind of have his way, man. He pushed. I couldn't see who it was, but he was able to push him off him and like as if he was the gunner and go make the quotation mark tackle. So live periods are absolutely necessary. The intensity is going up a notch, and, man, it's a good thing, man. Definitely a good thing. So that's the show. Wanted to make sure that you know, we brought you just a good amount of content. You know, emptied out the notebook, so to speak, as far as what I've seen. So we're going to go ahead and be back next week. I'm really looking forward to more and more of this show, you know, being able to talk to you guys and more practice. You know, until then, everybody be safe. Thanks for tuning in. God bless and good night.